Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A six-year-old boy who had not gotten his way announced to his parents one day, "I'm running away from home." So his parents asked him, "Well, what will you do when you run out of food?" And he said, "Well, that's easy." He said, "I'll come home for more." And so then they asked him, "Well, what will you do when you run out of money?" And he said, "That's easy." He said, "I'll come home for more." "What will you do when your clothes get dirty?" "That's easy." He said, "I'll come home for more." And at that point, his dad turned to his wife and said, "This kid isn't running away from home. He's going away to college." The sad truth, however, is that many people, both young and old, men and young and not so young, have and continue to run away from home, run away from family. The pain of sick families can be so great that people are running almost anywhere to experience love and acceptance. Some run to bars or go on achievement binges seeking affirmation or a sense of success. Others run to extramarital relationships because they're offered a listening ear or a loving touch. Many ways that people run away from their homes. Our series this Advent, like I said, is called Family Life. And last week we looked at Zechariah and Elizabeth and saw how they longed for a child, but couldn't have one. While friends and relatives delighted in children and grandchildren, Zechariah and Elizabeth had nothing but shattered hopes and dashed dreams. And there must have been times, as I think about that, there must have been times when each of them wanted desperately to change their circumstances, maybe even start over with someone else. Truth is, home can be tough. They can be painful places. In fact, someone once cynically said that marriages go through three stages: the happy honeymoon, the party's over, and let's make a deal. Pretty depressing, but so, unfortunately, sadly, so true. You know, maybe there's conflict over money. There's just never enough. Or maybe it's about how to raise the children. You know, one of you is too strict, the other one is too lax. Maybe conflict arises as you try to decide where to vacation. We always go where you want to go. We always go to your folks' place or my folks' place. And with the holidays quickly approaching, so will come some very trying times for many, many families. But the reality is family conflict really isn't the issue. I'll say that again. Family conflict really is not the issue. The issue is how do we handle family conflict when it comes. And it will come. Oftentimes when conflict strikes, our default position is my way, right? Because of sin, we're naturally self-centered. Life, including family life, is about me. It's about my agenda, about my needs, about my wants. My way is right. Your way is wrong. But a my way attitude shuts down communication before it can even begin. It's either my way or no way, period. And there's also the your way approach. That's where one's partner simply gives in. And that shuts down communication just as effectively as my way, as the person becomes passive, detached, distant, and disengaged. The message that's sent is that you really don't care. Rather than confronting the issue, it's avoided at all costs. Statements like, whatever, or it's no big deal, stop the conversation. Nothing is ever resolved because nothing is ever engaged. And the problem can simply fester, but it will return again. But Zechariah and Elizabeth showed us a different way, our way. We heard it in our gospel tonight. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he's to be called John." And they argued with her. They said to her, "Hey, there's no one among your relatives who has that name." And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. We remember from last week, Zechariah had doubted the angel Gabriel's promise that God would give he and Elizabeth a son. So Gabriel told him that he would not be able to speak until after his son's birth. For 9 months, Zechariah was unable to speak. And then, after his son was born, right as his neighbors and relatives were driving a wedge between he and his wife with the argument that Elizabeth certainly couldn't name the child John, Zechariah asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." For Zechariah and Elizabeth, when the time came to name their son, it wasn't my way or your way, it was our way. God told us this, and we are agreed on it. An our way approach to family life means, I think, at its heart, that you care about relationships. What are we going to name our son? Let's talk about this. Let's figure this out together. When you value an our way approach, you show that that maintaining the relationship and valuing the other person is more important than solving some silly problem. Our way attacks the issue, not the person. It emphasizes reconciliation, not resolution. And there's a big difference between reconciliation and resolution. Resolving a problem is actually quite easy. People do it all the time. I can resolve a problem by simply walking away, leaving the relationship behind, starting anew. And it happens in families, it happens in congregations. It happens all the time. It's like the mob boss who's poised to pull the trigger and he says, "Look, it's not personal, it's just business." Problem solved. Even if it means death. But reconciliation means that the number one priority is not the problem, it's the relationship. And that's because the other person is more important than the problem. In fact, the other person is more important than all of your problems. You don't just bury the issue, but you do bury the hatchet. You keep talking, you agree to disagree agreeably, because you know that you can walk arm in arm even without completely seeing eye to eye. It's all about relationship. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth insisted on naming their son John, because that's what the angel said to Zechariah at the temple. Now, John means the Lord is gracious. In the midst of conflict, the only way you'll get to our way with another person will be through God's way. And God's way is always the way of grace. In His grace, God gives us new life, forgiven life, eternal life. John writes in his gospel that God is full of grace. And Peter calls our God the God of all grace. The writer to the Hebrews says that God's throne is a throne of grace. James assures us that God gives more grace. And Paul says that we are under grace, that we are saved by grace, and that we stand by grace. God's grace reconciled us to Himself, and His grace reconciles us to one another. On December 17th, 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright got their flying machine off the ground, and the airplane was born. In their excitement, they sent a telegraph to their sister Catherine. It simply said, "Flew 120 feet, will be home for Christmas." And when Catherine got the news, she ran to the local newspaper in Dayton, Ohio, and showed the telegraph to the editor, and he glanced at it and said, "Oh, how nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." Completely missed the point. Yeah, it was nice that the boys would be home for Christmas. But a person had flown an airplane for the first time. Now that was the big news. Too often, we get caught up in the tinsel, and the toys, and the trees, and all the trimmings, and we miss the big news of Christmas. Those things are nice. Just like it was nice that the Wright brothers would be coming home for Christmas. But see, that's not the big news. The big news of Christmas is that God took flight and traveled from heaven to earth. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And He did it to show us the full meaning of grace. John means the Lord is gracious, but Jesus shows us that He is the Lord of grace. When it comes to grace, Jesus nailed it perfectly. But before the nails, He struggled. He knew the pain that grace would cost. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked His Father to remove the cup of suffering if there was any other way. But His obedience to the Father wasn't just a passive, have it your way approach. You see, He and His Father had agreed on this from before the foundations of the world. After all, that's why He came in the first place. And our way approach to our relationships is no different. God's grace and love enables us to look at our relationships from His perspective. In fact, we must look at our relationships from His perspective. We value our relationships enough to communicate with one another until we can agree. Sometimes it's really easy. Other times it's very difficult. But either way, we actively engage. We actively work together. Just as Jesus was actively obedient, He willingly went to the cross. He and His Father knew that this was the only way for you and me to live forever through His pain and death. On the cross, Jesus took on Himself all of our sin, including all of those sins that we commit against one another, including all of those sins that we commit against our family members. And then He rose on the third day to show that those sins were paid for. And He did that so that we might have a perfect, undeserved gift. In a word, grace. As God's children, forgiven by grace, overflowing with grace, forever in grace, when family conflict comes, you are empowered to renounce my way and your way because you know that those are really no way. Acting in line with God's way becomes an our way approach because we get engaged in the solution with Him and also with one another. And caring for one another, just as God cared for us, enables us to say yes to a better way. Amen.